As we come again together to worship our God and to wait upon him, let us do so singing his praise from the words of Psalm 124. Psalm 124, and we're singing the second version of that, and we're singing it in its entirety. Now Israel may say, and that truly, if that the Lord had not our cause maintained, if that the Lord had not our right sustained, when cruel men against us furiously rose up in wrath to make of us their prey, then certainly they had devoured us all and swallowed quick for aught that we could deem. Such was their rage as we might well esteem. And as fierce floods before them all things drown, so had they brought our soul to death quite down. The raging streams with our proud swelling waves had then our soul overwhelmed in the deep. But blessed be God who doth us safely keep and hath not given us for a living prey unto their teeth and bloody cruelty. Even as a bird out of the fowler's snare escapes away, so is our soul set free. Broke are their nets, and thus escape we. Therefore our help is in the Lord's great name, who heaven and earth by his great power did frame. Psalm 124, second version. Now Israel may say, now call on the Lord in prayer. Let us all pray. our Lord and our God. Once again, stillness becomes us as we draw near unto thee, the living and the true God. And we pray, Lord, for that proportion in our worship and our service that befits thyself. For so often we can take the attitude of the world in with us before thee. And we have thy displeasure displayed amongst us and upon us. So, Lord, we ask of thee that thou wouldst fix our eyes upon thyself, that we might have that awareness of thy greatness and grandeur, thy majesty and thy purity, that we might realize again the magnificence of the display of thy grace and the abundance and lavish love thou dost display towards thine own people. For who is a God liketh unto thee? Thou art the one who doth hide the sins of thine own. Thou art the one who doth take those who are enemies and doth bring them into thine household underneath the scope of thy wings and the experience of thy blessings. So, Lord, we pray that we might this evening once again, as we come together as a congregation, that we might do so to worship and thank thee for all the blessings received from thine hand. And especially, O Lord, the encouragement that we have even from that very opening song of praise to thyself. For we know that the Christian is so vulnerable in this life and society. There are ranged against us many opponents, pressures, obstacles and problems. And so many of them would pull us down were we to be left on our own to face them and to overcome them. But we thank thee, Lord, for thy wisdom in giving to us a way of holding our integrity and our profession as we go through life. For the way in which thou hast vouchsafed to thine own that they will be the victors and that nothing and nobody will take them out of thine hand. Even the intentions and plans of evil men as they set nets and traps for thine own, they will be frustrated in their intention and they will be taken by these devices themselves. Lord our God, may we walk in the comfort of this faith that was given and bestowed upon thy people. May we have a quietness in our spirit as we go about this week that is opening up before us. No matter what we have to face in it, may we do so, Lord, walking in thy company, having thy presence with us, and leaning upon thee always for the strength, the grace, the wisdom, the love, that we might be as good witnesses in our society to where we have spent this day and whose company we have spent it. And we pray, Lord, our God, that thou wouldst grant thy blessing upon us with the seeds of the gospel scattered this day, that they might find a home and a place in the heart and soul of so many who hear it, that there would be a work of thy Spirit taking this word and applying it to those who are in need, for those thine own to bring comfort, for those strangers to thee to bring challenge. Gracious Lord and God, remember us, we pray then, and come in with us once again this evening in the worship we bring before thee. We bring our own needs of our homes and our families and our young ones. We bring, O Lord, those whom we know, the companions along life's journey in our community and villages. We pray, Lord, that thou wouldst remember the cause we represent and the name of the one in whose name we go. We ask of thee, O Lord God, that thou wouldst keep us in the hollow of thine hand and that thou wouldst make us to know, Lord, that peace and quietness and satisfaction from being at the center of thy will, plans, and purposes. And we pray that the labors of our hand, so often we are conscious of the inadequacies, the inconsistencies. So often, Lord, we're conscious of the weaknesses in what we do. And our prayer is, Lord, that thou wouldst take these very service that we offer and that thou wouldst anoint it with power and blessing and make it effective to those who hear it and receive it, that there would not be an oppression of man's creating, remaining with them, but that we might always and all of us hear the voice of our God speaking to us. Bless thy word, O Lord. Bring it home to those who hear it with a power and a testimony and an examination, a judgment. Bring it home, O Lord, with the truth that we all need to hear. And we do ask of thee, Lord, that even as we go forward into these days, people, nation alike, Lord, from the highest to the lowest in our land, we ask of thee that that word might indeed be anointed with the power of heaven to disturb, to unsettle, to scatter the darkness, to bring light and the knowledge of our need as sinners, and that we might have our gaze drawn and fixed with utter delight in Jesus Christ, thy Son, he who is the hope we must have, the Saviour we need, and the argument alone which is sufficient for our meeting with thyself. Come in with us, we pray then. Grant to us thy presence this evening in our service once again, for each and all of us, the places we've come from, the homes we represent, the nation we're a part of, from those in leadership down to ordinary working round about us. We ask, Lord, that thou wouldst manifest thy grace and that thou wouldst display thy gospel, hearing it, receiving it, embracing it in so many others round about us. Hear us, O Lord, and undertake for us then, we ask, pardoning us our sin, for we ask it all in Jesus' name and for his sake and his glory. Amen. We continue our worship singing, this time from Psalm 119. Psalm 119, and we're breaking in to sing from verse 35 to verse 40. These last four verses of this fifth section of Psalm 119. In thy law's path, make me to go, for I delight therein. My heart unto thy testimonies, and not to greed incline. Turn thou away my sight and eyes from viewing vanity, and in thy good and holy way be pleased to quicken me. Confirm to me thy gracious word, which I did gladly hear, even to thy servant, Lord, who is devoted to thy fear. Turn thou away my fear reproach, for good thy judgments be. Lo, for thy precepts I have longed. In thy truth, quicken me. Psalm 119, 35 to 40. In thy law's path, make me to go. Our reading this evening is from the Old Testament prophecy of Isaiah and chapter 41. Isaiah chapter 41, and we're reading verses 1 through to 20. Keep silence before me, O islands, and let the people renew their strength. Let them come near, then let them speak. Let us come near to gather to judgment. Who raised up the righteous man from the east and called him to his foot, gave the nations before him and made him rule over kings? He gave them as the dust to his sword and as driven stubble to his bow. He pursued them and passed safely, even by the way that he had not gone with his feet. Who hath wrought and done it, calling the generations from the beginning? I, the Lord, the first and with the last, I am he. The isles saw it and feared. The ends of the earth were afraid, drew near and came. They helped everyone his neighbor, and everyone said to his brother, be of good courage. So the carpenter encouraged the goldsmith, and he that smootheth with the hammer, him that smote the anvil, saying, it is ready for the soldering. And he fastened it with nails, that it should not be moved. But thou, Israel, my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend, thou whom I have taken from the ends of the earth and called thee from the chief men thereof and said unto thee, thou art my servant, I have chosen thee and not cast thee away. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Behold, all they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing, and they that strive with thee shall perish. Thou shalt seek them, and shalt not find them. Even them that contended with thee, they that war against thee shall be as nothing, and as a thing of naught. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. Fear not, thou worm Jacob, and ye men of Israel. I will help thee, saith the Lord, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Behold, I will make thee a new sharp threshing instrument, having teeth. Thou shalt thresh the mountains and beat them small, and shalt make the hills as chaff. Thou shalt fan them, and the wind shall carry them away, and the whirlwind shall scatter them. And thou shalt rejoice in the Lord, and shalt glory in the Holy One of Israel. When the poor and needy seek water, and there is none, and the tongue fainteth for thirst, I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. I will open rivers in high places and fountains in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water and the dry land springs of water. I will plant in the wilderness the cedar, the shittah tree, and the myrtle and the oil tree. I will set in the desert the fir tree and the pine and the box tree together, that they may see and know and consider and understand that the hand of the Lord hath done this, and the Holy One of Israel hath created it. Amen, and may God add his blessing and give to us understanding in that reading of his own holy and inspired word. We continue our praise, this time coming to the words of Psalm 91, and at the beginning of that psalm, six stanzas from the beginning. He that doth in the secret place of the Most High reside, under the shade of him that is the Almighty shall abide. I of the Lord my God will say, he is my refuge still. He is my fortress and my God, and in him trust I will. Assuredly he shall thee save and give deliverance from subtle fowler's snare and from the noisome pestilence. His feathers shall thee hide, thy trust under his wings shall be. His faithfulness shall be a shield and buckler unto thee. Thou shalt not need to be afraid for terrors of the night, nor for the arrow that doth fly by day while it is light, nor for the pestilence that walks in darkness secretly, nor for destruction that doth waste at noonday openly. These six stanzas from Psalm 91, he that doth in the secret place. Meditation tonight focuses upon that chapter we read from Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. As we go through life day after day, there are so many developments that come on a grand scale and on a very personal, private scale that can breed and promote a fear and an anxiety. We hear about a slight increase in COVID and Omicron. We hear an even greater concern over flu over these winter months. We have anxieties that can arise because of personal, physical or medical, or spiritual sources. So often there's different factors, circumstances that promote that anxiety with us. And we're left with so often questions, how am I going to cope with these long nights that's now come when I'm alone and with my thoughts? What will these next few days bring as we wait for any kind of examination or results to come to us? As we linger on these thoughts and as these questions come to us, so often they're the means that the devil will use to take advantage of us, to sow some seeds of doubt or to breed some temptation for us. And even as we were thinking last time together of Psalm 25, we can recall and we can reflect on the faults and failings of so many years gone by. That old age pensioner psalm of Psalm 25, the problem that David had facing the panorama of life, remembering so many things that he did that he shouldn't, even as we were thinking of one of them this morning. Fears and anxieties can be promoted from so many different sources for you and me. And that anxiety can be a dark cloud under which we walk day after day. It can be a heavy burden we've got to carry. And day by day, it is almost inevitable that it robs us of the legitimate joy that every Christian is entitled to experience. Anxiety. And the Lord recognizes the fearful effect of any kind of providence that we can specify from ourselves. The very things that well up within our own hearts at this very moment, the Lord recognized the fearful effect of these, leading to concern with his own people. And so therefore the Lord deals with these now fully, thoroughly. There is a very clear forbidding here. There's a very clear and simple command. Fear thou not. Clear and plain. And what the Lord commands here, he supports with powerful arguments. It's the desire of the Lord that all of his people would walk in the enjoyment of the joy and the rest, the peace and the salvation achieved, obtained, and bestowed from the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, his Son. And anything that threatens such an experience and enjoyment, he addresses severely, and he deploys strong arguments to banish. He will not tolerate, the Lord will not tolerate that kind of fear to be the constant and permanent companion of any one of his children as they walk through this journey of life. Even when you go to just a few chapters further on into chapter 43, there's a very similar situation given to us there. The situation, the history there is the same as the history with ourselves here. The Assyrian army was extending and flexing its muscles in these days. And as the specter of that army came across God's people, fear was a real possibility. And the possible options that came their way are set out for us there in chapter 43. When you pass through the waters, when you go through the rivers, when you walk through the fire, these are extreme experiences that are set for us by the Lord. And they're there not as an if, but they're when for God's people. And the Lord deliberately, in these few verses at the beginning of chapter 43, dismisses the fear that can be the consequence of them coming. Wave after wave of argument are set out for it. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you walk through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. Neither shall the flame kindle upon you. Why? For I am the Lord thy God. I am the one that rescued you. You're precious in my sight. I have loved you. There we have the Lord setting out potent, powerful theological arguments to address the fear, anxiety can well up with God's people for many different reasons. We have in our own history the crofty mentality, the way in which there's a mark, a paintbrush mark on every sheep, and every crofter knows, well, that's mine because of the markings on it. And that's what the Lord is saying. I have marked you. You belong to me. He's redeemed. He's called. They are his and no one else's. That relationship has been established at God's initiative. It brings privileges as well as responsibilities. But one of the great privileges is this: that no matter what providences might visit us, no matter what we might have to endure or to go through, no matter what the week might hold or the days or the months to come, no matter what, summing it up in chapter 43, walking through the waters or through the fire, one thing that we are assured of: we are not alone. The Lord is with us, and he will keep us safe through these experiences. Fear not. That's what the Lord is saying to his people, saying to us here tonight. So what I want to do this evening is, first of all, to look at this command that is given. Fear not. The Assyrian nation was on the warpath. And as it swept across nations and people, one after the other, it cast a long shadow on those who were down the line in front, absorbing nations and peoples. And Judah was next in line. And there was always that promise with the people of that day that the Lord had made and given to his people of their survival. There was always that promise that they would not be totally removed, exterminated. That's the promise that God had made and God had given. But with this army coming, things didn't look that way at all. People in that day couldn't understand what was happening. And sometimes the circumstances of life with ourselves has the same effect. We don't understand. And sometimes that lack of understanding is the ground on which this fear can breed. So what does God say to his people? There's always a break in the prophecy of Isaiah. The first 39 chapters, there's a change when we get into chapter 40, because there the Lord addresses God's people in the light of this Assyrian onslaught. And right at the very beginning in chapter 40 at verse 10, what does he say? He says, "Behold, the Lord God will come with a strong hand. His arm shall rule for you. Behold his reward with him and his work before him." Here they are, they're facing the Assyrians, and God is speaking to address the fear that can grow with them. "He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arms and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young." Behold your God. That's the point, that's the start the Lord makes in redressing this possibility of fear, the authority and the rule of the world and of nations remains without God. When you go to this chapter we've read, we find there that, oh yes, what happens with the Gentiles? The carpenter makes an image and they raise their idols and they're hoping in these idols. They're driven to these idols as the fear of what comes grows stronger. But not God's people. We have there in verse 1 a little word that is so decisive that the balance of it changes everything. He says in verse 8, but you. But you, Israel, you're different from all these other nations. You are my servant. You are Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham. You are my friend. There we have set out for us the relationship which God has established, the involvement that God has made, choosing them and helping them, the commitment that he gives us there at the end of verse 9. My servant, I've chosen you. I have not cast you off. A commitment that God has made and given to their survival and their well-being. These people of Judah, they're not disposable items in the plans and intentions of God. What a great comfort there is there. As Isaiah says, behold your God. And even as we were to stop there just tonight, the enormity of this theology, when it gets into our minds and percolates through every strand of our thinking, the enormity of what we've just been reminding ourselves about, that relationship, that commitment, that involvement of God in you and me, let the enormity of that theology sink in when anxiety comes knocking at our door. Let that enormity of that theology sink in, whatever we've got to face that comes our way tomorrow. So there we have it, the first line of defense deployed by Isaiah, chapter 40, verse 10. But then, having set out that first line of defense, he now comes in this chapter to make an application of it. What does it mean? If this is your God, if this is his character, if this is his commitment, if these are the truths that he's revealed about himself, what does that mean for you and for me? Two simple things he says. Do not be fearful. Do not be dismayed. Don't lose heart. Sometimes when that kind of situation develops, then, now for ourselves, we're always looking around ourselves, looking over our shoulder to see what threat, see what harm might be coming. And what he says to us simply is, don't be intimidated by these personal circumstances. Let this faith that you've got lift your circumstances, your gaze, all of your thoughts and fears up to God in prayer and rely upon him. This is the distinctive of God's people. When God is at work, yes, because it's God that is raising up the Assyrians. When God is at work, some people will be afraid. We're told that. The isles saw it and feared. The ends of the earth were afraid. They drew near and came. Yes, when God's at work. But not God's people who know him. They have been redeemed. Hence, they have nothing to fear. The commitment, the closeness of God. We can make application before we move any further on. Simply like this. Fear God if you have reason to fear him. If sin has not been dealt with in our lives, there is much reason to be afraid. Fear him if you have reason to be fearful. But if that sin has been dealt with, fear not. No sudden change of circumstance, no development amongst nations, no turning of events, no sudden surprises of life will shake our faith or produce this fear. Faith is unflappable with this command that God has given to us. But just as we were thinking this morning that sometimes we need a flesh and blood example of what this means and how it applies. So let me take one or two that we can bring down to ourselves to our own level. Genesis chapter 15. And the very first chapter there is Abraham. God has great plans for Abraham. God speaks of his intentions. And what does Abraham say? The very beginning of chapter 15. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision, saying, "Fear not, Abraham. I am thy shield and thine exceeding great reward." And then Abraham says this, "Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus?" Abraham was afraid of being childless, of the promise that God had given not being fulfilled. What's going to happen if I have no family? God had given a promise, but how was it going to be fulfilled for Abraham? He was afraid to rest upon that promise, to lean upon it, lest it collapse underneath him. God's word, what do we do with it as it has been given to us? Sometimes we can ask the very same question as Abraham did. Will it be fulfilled? And God said to Abraham, "Fear not." And God says the same to us as we get hold of and hold on to a promise that God has given in his word for us. Fear not. We can look around at all the human factors. We can look at all the human possibilities. But we're told rather in 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse 12. There we have a situation where there was dire opposition from the Assyrians. A massed army massed against Israel. And there they went, Hezekiah, in prayer. And what did they do? But they lifted their eyes. Our eyes are fixed upon the Lord. The fear that he had, Abraham, addressed by God. And it will be fulfilled. God has spoken it. Or again, Moses was about to die. He was going to hand over to Joshua. He was going to lead them into the land. There were unknown factors here to face. He was alone in the doing of it. How was he going to cope? He always had Moses with him. He faced an uncertain future, and he faced it alone. And again, how close to ourselves that comes. Fear, anxiety can be promoted. And as Joshua had to go and lead the people, so we find God speaking to that very situation that he was in. And God says this to him, "Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee. He will not forsake thee." Fear not. God will do that to you. Same again. We have so many different examples of it. Joshua had to go out and face a huge and ruthless enemy. How was he going to do it? Looking to the Lord. The promises God had given time after time. Look up that simple phrase, fear not. And see a reflection of ourselves. Especially coming to 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and 17. Just go back and read that chapter itself alone. A multitude, we're told in that chapter 20, ranging against God's people. How do we cope with the multitude of sin that there is in our life? How do we cope when we've got to stand for what is right at work? How do we cope with all the pressures to compromise that are lavished against us? How do we cope with what society is about today? To keep our moral high ground. To keep our Christian devotion. How do we cope? Again, there's a simple promise given to us. Or again, God had promised the land to the people. He had set before them a great inheritance. What did they do? They sent out spies to look out the land. And they came back with a great report, but they said also, we can't go in because there's so many opposing it and so much set against us. A land that was lavish, full, rich. And so they were consigned to wander for 40 years. Only two entered that land. The two that came back with the confidence that God could give it to them, Caleb and Joshua. And we read there in Deuteronomy chapter 1 and verse 21. Behold, the Lord thy God hath set the land before thee. Go up and possess it, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath said unto thee. Fear not, neither be discouraged. Sometimes we can be afraid to claim the enjoyment of the legitimate inheritance that's set for God's people. Sometimes there's a reluctance on our part to hold on to and to enjoy what God has given to us, the promised land, the experiences of it, the fullness of the Christian life set before us. Will it collapse? Will it come up to the mark? And there, and time again, that fear is addressed by the Lord, and he says, don't be afraid. Boldly claim what rightfully belongs to every believer. So yes, we've taken time to look at it, and the command that is given, fear not. So many different examples, flesh and blood examples, which we can translate and apply to ourselves, addressed by that same injunction. Don't be afraid. So if that's the command, what are the reasons for it? Again, it's one of the things we can pick up as we go through Scripture, that whenever the Lord gives a command, there's always a supporting reason below it. And there are two reasons given to us in this chapter and this verse for our support to dispel all that fear, all that dread, all that anxiety. Go back again to this verse 10. And in the original language, there's something important that we've got to note. God says, with you, I am. These two phrases are set side by side to emphasize a very important truth for God's people, to scatter that fear and anxiety. There is the emphasis on God's presence with his people. He is no distant, far off Lord. He's not one that is indifferent in a measure. But here we have the Lord who is interested, committed to, and involved with his own. That's a great truth we've got to lodge and keep in our soul. He is with us. Two ways in which this can be broken down. Two simple reasons we can take to ourselves. With you I am. But first of all, we're told of the assurance of God's presence with us. He guides. He leads us through strange experiences. But we are never, ever left alone. When we go back to that very chapter, we quoted chapter 43. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. The fears and anxieties from life can be swept aside by reminding ourselves none other, no one else but God is with us. There is the contentment. There's the composure. There's the comfort that comes to you and to me with that simple statement of the assurance of his presence, the consciousness of the Lord with us. And as he is with us, he will see to all of our needs. Hebrews 13 and verse 5 says, I will never leave you. No, never ever will I leave you. There is a repetition of that truth that we need to take to ourselves. I will never leave you. That's what the Lord says and brings to his people. We have that same set out for us in Romans chapter 8. Nothing. There is Paul recruiting all of the great forces ranged against people, against the Christian. He stands on the pinnacle and he looks down the path of life and the experiences of life. And he sees life, death, principalities, powers and such like, gathers them all together. And the conclusion he comes to the end of it all is, none of them, but none of them, will separate us from God and his love to us. Yes. Remember what we said about the war footing of the second portion of Isaiah, chapter 40 and onwards. And we can come again to see something that's very appropriate to ourselves. Chapter 40 and verse 27. Why do you say, Jacob, and why do you speak, Israel? My way is hid from the Lord. We can speak to our soul and we can speak with ourselves and we can say these very things. Yes, does God know? Does God know where I am and what I'm going through? The pressure of life. The pace of life. These are the things that can come upon us. And fear dwells with us. And then we've got to read on to the end of that chapter. And we're told there in beautiful words and lovely figures, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Have you not known that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, faints not, neither is we weary? There's no searching of his understanding. The assurance of God's presence with his own. Even although from time to time we might feel that we're on our own. But there is the assurance given. He's always with us. One reason then for this fear to be banished. The assurance of his presence. But then the second thing we can say is not only the assurance of his presence, but the fullness of his character. Who is this God that is with us? I am with you. Who is with us? Jehovah God. Gather together all the qualities that you got and you can gather from Scripture. Gather all of the teaching together. And you see there the rich fullness of the character of our God. His power and his might. His wisdom to direct and to guide. Through all the perplexing paths of life. The way in which he's there protecting and preserving his people when there's threats mobilized against them. We can sometimes live a meager life as Christian. Not because of any lack in our God, but the lack is with ourselves. We do not take what He's promised. We do not take what He's set forth before us. To live up to the mark of the lavish, overflowing Christian inheritance belonging to every believer. His power, His wisdom. There are times when we stumble and fall. David, this morning, we find there His grace. We can be obstinate. We can be perverse. We can be slow to learn. But in all of these situations and so many more, God meets us and overcomes them. The riches of His character, bringing lavish blessings into our lives. So yes, there's the command, fear not. Yes, there's the reason, the assurance of His presence and the fullness of His character. So what does that mean, thirdly, as a comfort when we've got to go through these anxieties? God Himself will be there to strengthen us. Whatever the demands that are made before us in His service and in living for Him, God is equal to them. Events that might be yet hidden, taxing our resources to the extreme. How will we fare when tomorrow comes with something new to us? We can be apprehensive, anxious. No matter. God will meet them, and His strength will be precise and measured for every moment. I will strengthen you. What else does that mean when this God is with us? I will help you when you're in your need. Whatever that need might be, there's the wisdom, there's the encouragement, there's the comfort, there's the strength. I say again, chapter 45 this time. Read it again, verse 17. It's not a foolish thing to wait upon such a God. It's not a foolish thing, but He's there to help us. Yes, He strengthens us. Yes, He helps us. Yes, He upholds us with His right hand. And that's a specific reference to His sustaining power in times of threat. He keeps us from stumbling. The Assyrian nation in these days, sin constant, a companion with temptation round about us. Think of the young ones there this morning, tonight. Think of some of them. And they're there walking and they're trying to learn to walk and they're stumbling along. And mum and dad stands behind and is there ready to catch should they fall. So likewise, our God. There are times when we're stumbling and there's times when we trip up. And there is God with His right hand to catch us in His grace and with His mercy. To deal with the problem we've created for ourselves and to magnify His loving kindness in restoring, helping, and healing. Yes, He upholds us with His right hand. Fear and dread, it is there a constant companion with God's people. But it is removed and dealt with. The spiritual fear and dread by the Lord Jesus Christ and His death upon the cross and the application of His blood to make us acceptable in His sight. Fear and dread are banished. They do not have house room any longer or any more with a Christian believer. Yes, there is peace and there is rest. The comfort that comes when we have the Lord as our constant companion to strengthen, to help, and to uphold. Have we therefore heard his powerful voice speaking to our soul? Have we heard the shepherd addressing our needs? We've got to make our peace with God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And only then will all of the things that this passage speaks about and that we've tried to bring out tonight, only then will these be our experience. Fear and terror being expelled. Serenity, tranquility and rest be replacing them. God has said it. Three simple phrases. He has spoken with deliberation. There is no rushing God in what he says. I will help you. He has spoken with deliberation. His word is supported with omnipotence and might. There is no limitation on his power, whatever be the situation that we face, like we have. We sometimes make promises we cannot fulfill because we're lacking in power or experience or knowledge. None of these things apply to God. God supports what he says with his own omnipotence. And God's word is sealed by his immutability. He doesn't change. We've got to backtrack. We've got to back off from what we've said and we've promised because of that limitation on our part. No 2 days are the same with us. But God never changes in the promises that he's given. The same yesterday, today, and forever. Never been reversed, never withdrawn, never altered because of the purposes that are waiting for you and me around the corner of life. God has said it, fear not, for with you I am. He says I will strengthen you. He says I will help you. He says I will uphold you with my right hand. What else do we need? What else do we need but these simple promises, these amazing promises that God makes to his people to banish, to expel that fear and anxiety that can arise from so many different sources to you and to me. Fear not, for with you I am. Let us pray. Lord, our gracious God, once again we come before thee, asking for thy blessing upon the preaching of thy word, asking, Lord, that thou wouldst take it home to the hearts of each and every one of us with freshness and newness and richness, so that we might go forward from this thy day into the days of this week that now lie before us, and that we might lean upon thee and draw and apply these very truths to our soul, so that our walk might be serene, that our walk might be peaceful, that our joy might be full, as we lean all the more on thy word and the undertakings that was given there to be with thy people. Bless us, our God, we pray. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Let us close tonight by singing from Psalm 37. Psalm 37 from verse 3. Set thou thy trust upon the Lord, and be thou doing good. And so thou in the land shalt dwell and verily have food. Delight thyself in God, he'll give thine heart's desire to thee. Thy way to God commit, him trust to bring to pass shall he. And like unto the light he shall thy righteousness display. And he thy judgment shall bring forth like noontide of the day. Rest in the Lord and patiently wait for him. Do not fret from him who prospering in his way, success in sin doth get. Psalm 37, 3 through 7, set thou thy trust upon the Lord. May grace, mercy, and peace from God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit rest upon and abide with you all.